The federal government has taken a significant step in regulating PFAS, the so-called forever chemicals. They were used for decades in everything from cookware to firefighting foam. This week, the EPA established strict limits on several of the most studied and discussed of the man-made chemicals. And at the same time, the federal agency stated that there is, quote, no level of exposure to these contaminants without risk of health impacts, including certain cancers. Meanwhile, in Wisconsin, lawmakers continue to squabble over the best way to tackle PFAS, leaving millions of remediation dollars in limbo. WUWM environmental reporter Susan Bentz has the story.
PFAS are a group of chemicals that don't easily break up. That means they can bioaccumulate in living things, including humans. The chemicals have been linked to a concerning list of health problems, from low birth weights to cancer and liver disease. There's a growing list of Wisconsin communities saddled with PFAS-contaminated groundwater. The list includes Peshtigo, Wausau, and the town of Campbell on French Island. Waters within the Bay of Green Bay have been impacted. Green Bay State Senator Eric Wimberger co-authored a bill that he says offered a path for grants to pay for PFAS cleanup. It called for awarding grants to municipalities, private landowners, and waste disposal facilities to test for PFAS in water treatment plants and wells. Wimberger says landowners whose property became contaminated through no fault of their own would have been eligible for grants. He says the bill would prevent people from being driven into financial ruin because they find themselves in the path of a pollution plume. Wimberger points to the bill's many grant pathways.
For instance, a lot of the PFAS would get into the biosolids spread on farms because the leachate from the landfills was being mixed with the other biosolids at the municipal treatment plant. So the SB 312 had given grant money to create kind of mini treatment facilities at the landfills, so all of that leachate never got into the system.
But this week, Democratic Governor Tony Evers vetoed the bill, saying it wasn't good enough. Evers says the bill would have limited the DNR's power to enforce PFAS cleanups, and he said the proposal had loopholes that could have let those who caused PFAS contamination off the hook for remediating their contamination. A number of environmental groups urged Governor Evers to veto the bill. Wisconsin Conservation Voters was among them. Peter Burris is the government affairs manager for the organization.
Under Senate Bill 312, one of our major concerns was that there was a process through which literally anybody could be considered an innocent landowner, and then in qualifying as an innocent landowner would be exempt from the DNR's enforcement authority. So that is exactly what we call a loophole for polluters.
Burris says it is critical that Wisconsin move forward with other PFAS-related measures. He says that should start with groundwater regulations to protect the multitude of Wisconsinites who rely on private wells for their drinking water. Meanwhile, Burris says a measure already approved in last year's state budget should be activated immediately.
Last summer, over 9 months ago, bipartisan action led to $125 million being set aside into the PFAS Trust Fund for action on PFAS, and that funding is still sitting there because the Joint Finance Committee has not released it. We need to get that funding out the door.
That step seems unlikely. Senator Wimberger, the vetoed bill's sponsor, accuses Governor Evers of wanting to create a slush fund for the DNR rather than going through the program. That's despite the fact that Evers sent the Joint Finance Committee a proposal in late February. The governor has taken the unusual step of calling for a meeting next week to try to convince the GOP-controlled committee to release the PFAS funds. Republicans show no sign of action. Susan Bentz, 89.7, WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.